Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Friday, August the 28th, and are looking forward to the long bank holiday weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, members of the Nepalese community in Kent hold talks on how to support Nepal following devastating flash floods. Ipswich United fans plan to stage a protest, and there's a new addition to Gillingham's squad ahead of their game this weekend. But first, this is one of our most read stories on the website today. The family of a Faversham woman who died outside her university accommodation say her former landlords have shown no remorse. Well, Kate joins me on the episode with more on this story. Kate, remind us what happened.
Well, Alicia Skinner was crushed when her car slid down an icy driveway outside the property in High Wycombe in January. The 21-year-old had been unloading belongings from the boot at the time. The vehicle had been parked at the top of a drive which sloped towards a sheer drop of about 3 feet. Now, Alicia ended up being trapped between the car and the front wall of the house, and she died in hospital 4 days later.
And what happened at an inquest, Kate?
Well, a senior coroner issued a prevention of future deaths report, warning there was a significant risk of future deaths unless action was taken. He also highlighted three areas of concern: the driveway's downward incline towards a drop, how the danger posed by icy conditions was managed, and the lack of instructions on safely unloading vehicles. Haworth Property Limited had previously told the hearing that inspections had determined the driveway was safe.
So what's happened now?
The company has revealed measures it's introducing in response to the coroner's report. They include installing a new vehicle stop barrier and signs warning tenants never to stand downhill of a car while unloading it. But the firm says responsibility for assessing whether the driveway is safe in wintry conditions rests with residents and visitors. Alicia's mum has told us that this has done little to reassure them. In fact, she says the company have shown no remorse. She's also confirmed the family are planning to take the matter further over what it believes was a failure in Haworth's duty of care towards Alicia. Haworth was approached by Kent Online about the family's criticism, but they declined to comment further.
Kate, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you, and a man's been charged with arson following a fire at a house in Gillingham. Crews were called to the blaze on Canterbury Street on August the 12th. John Pearson, who's 44 and doesn't have a permanent address, has been bailed until he's due back in court next month. A man's been flown to hospital following an accident on a farm near Maidstone. He's said to be in a serious but stable condition in London after it happened at Drakefield's farm on Lenham Road in Olcombe, the health and safety executive have been told. Now, a Medway councillor says the devastation of the flash floods in Nepal goes beyond belief. More than 400 people have died, with at least 33 British nationals among those who are still missing. It's as authorities are warning of the risk of further floods and mountain lakes close to overflowing. Nina Gurung is a representative of the Gurkha Nepalese community in Kent.
We didn't realise the enormity of it, which of course over time, as it became clearer, how significant and how distressing and devastating these fast floods as well as the mudslide has been. Like, it is beyond disbelief. It is heartbreaking. It is tragic. Or just come to terms with it. And if we from the outside are feeling this way, you can just about imagine how devastating it is for the people living through it and experiencing it right now over there in Nepal.
Have you spoken to other people in the Nepalese community in Kent? And if you have, how are they feeling?
There is a large Gurkha Nepalese community across Kent, including here in Medway and Maidstone, as well as Ashford, Folkestone, Dover, Canterbury, and in Dartford and different parts of Kent, actually. And all of us are, first of all, like I said, it's the disbelief, but on the other hand, it's about praying for the loved ones. And also the other important part is about what can we do in this time, in this moment in time, to come together, support each other, but also, is there anything we can do to help people over there? At this moment in time, I'm so grateful to everyone who have reached out from different parts of the community expressing their support and solidarity and prayers as well. Really, really appreciative of all of that. But at the same time, yes, we're just waiting for further confirmation between different community leaders to coordinate a sort of fundraising or anything we can do to express to Nepal that, Nepal, you're not alone. We stand together and we're here and to send a strong message to Nepal to stay strong, really.
Due to the floods, communications in some areas have been cut off. Personally, have you been able to contact friends or family back in Nepal?
In some parts of the community, yes, communication has been cut off. But on the other hand, Nepal has got a really, really extensive and really strong communication network as well. Having said that, you are right. The floods have devastated some crucial infrastructure, which of course, like, you know, will take years and decades perhaps to build together. But on the other hand, we are getting news out gradually. I would say, for instance, there has been one glimmer of really good news from one part of the flood hit zone where there were 1,600 students unaccounted for, but we've literally just heard that they have now been safely accounted for. So we are hoping that those type of news come out, including for all the visitors, you know, from across the world who are visiting Nepal. At the moment, it's not peak season, but there were many visitors still in Nepal. It is one of the most beautiful countries in the world, land of the mighty Himalayas, as well as the Gurkhas, you know, birthplace of Buddha. So people come there for so many different reasons. And there were many people visiting Nepal for many different reasons.
Kent Online reports.
The Green Party has won an historic victory in a Dover District Council by-election. The vote was triggered when Conservative Martin Bates resigned. The Tories, Restore Britain and Reform UK all posted candidates. Dr. Ingrid Dodd took the Guston, Kingsdown and St Margaret's at Cliff seat by just 34 votes. A hospital trust has been told to make immediate improvements to the emergency department at the QEQM in Margate. Urgent care at the site has been rated as requires improvement by the watchdog, while safety has been downgraded to inadequate. Inspectors say East Kent Hospitals was also still in breach of regulations around dignity, respect and staffing. Figures from the RSPCA today show reports of animals being beaten in Kent has risen by 52% in just the last 5 years. 600 reports have been made in the last 12 months alone. The charity say incidents often spike over the summer and they're launching a new awareness campaign. It's been revealed a sensitive Kent County Council document was found by a member of the public after being left on a train. It's understood the information related to a children's home in Ashness Sandwich and listed refugee children and personal data. It happened in February 2025 and was reported to the Information Commissioner's Office. No action was taken, but the council was given a leaflet on personal data security. Now, next today, Ebbsfleet United fans are planning to stage a protest this weekend as the side remains suspended from the National League. Following talks on Wednesday, it was decided that that suspension would be extended, so games against Farnborough and Horsham over the bank holiday weekend won't take place. At the time, a compliance and licensing committee said a tax bill still hadn't been paid and a winding up order remains in place. Well, the club have since issued a statement saying the bill has now been paid in full. Well, supporter Steve Vincent has organised a peaceful demo outside the club's Stonebridge Road ground on Monday. I've been chatting to him.
The club does mean a lot to people. I know some people on the outside see football just as a game. But to some people, it's more than that. It's their release. You know, it's their one thing, two things a week that they get to go and just forget about the worries of work and stuff. So not having that is it is tough for people. It has effects on people's mental health and stuff. I do a YouTube channel where I've gained a few more people that come to talk to me, and I have had people reach out to me saying that they're struggling because they're worried about the club and stuff. So yeah, it's I don't think everyone sees it like that, but Yeah, it's been a tough couple of weeks, and it's the not knowing, I think, as well, which has affected a lot of people.
Yeah, there was a statement released yesterday that confirmed that the suspension is going to continue. So the two matches that were due over the bank holiday won't happen, but they did mention possible expulsion from the league as well. I mean, that would be devastating, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's what everyone's kind of fearing. And like I say, the reason yesterday what stemmed me for to organize the protest literally was to just try and get a bit more transparency. From what we're hearing from the league is one thing, and then we're hearing something else from the club.
You mentioned the protest there that you've organised. Tell me a bit about that then. When is it happening and how many people are you expecting to go along?
It was a bit of an off-the-cuff thing yesterday, after speaking to a friend of mine who's been a supporter for pretty much all his life, a season ticket holder for 25 plus years. So we just put it out there, and I said to him, I'm going to do it whether we get 5 people, 50 people, 250 people, just because I just don't want to sit on my hands any longer. I want to try and get it out there a little bit more, make it a bit more known what's going on. And I've had quite a few people message saying they're going to attend. But yeah, it's just really just to gain a little bit more spotlight on what's going on. It's going to be Bank Holiday Monday. And we're just going to be situated outside the front of the stadium, across the road. It's going to be a peaceful protest, and we're just asking for fans just to come down, even if you just come down for 10 minutes. We'll probably do a YouTube video for it, which will be non-profitable. We don't make any money from our YouTube, just so the fans can come on camera if they want to just say what the club means to them.
In a statement, the club say, "We appreciate the concern of supporters and the effect that the recent uncertainty has had on you as well as staff and players. We thank everyone for your support and understanding."
Kent Online reports.
No swim warnings have been issued for several Kent beaches after stormwater overflow was released into the sea. Signs have been put up across Thanet and Kingsgate Bay to Dumpton Gap in Signs have been put up across Thanet from Kingsgate Bay to Dumpton Gap in Broadstairs. Another warning is also in place at Westgate Bay in Westgate and Folsom Rock in Margate following heavy rain. Concerns have been raised after it was revealed water is being pumped from mains in Gravesend to reduce dust from building work at the Lower Thames Crossing. It's been collected daily from Servia Way off Thong Lane, despite the prolonged stretch of hot weather and drought conditions. Well, a spokesperson for Southern Water says there's no impact on customer supplies and usage complied with current rules and restrictions. And finally, almost a third of houses built in a new development in Dartford could be used as temporary accommodation for councils outside of Kent. There are suggestions. Of the 750 properties at Knight's Reach, 86 have been secured by Basildon and Newham is interested in 153. It sparked anger from local councillors. Dartford Labour MP Jim Dixon has called on ministers to take steps to prevent it.
Kent Online Sports.
Starting off with football, and it's a home game for Gillingham this weekend. They're still looking for their first goal of the season after a defeat and a draw so far in the campaign. Northampton Town are the visitors to Priestfield tomorrow. They also haven't scored yet. Well, Gill's boss, Gareth Ainsworth, has been speaking to our sports reporter, Luke Cordell.
Both teams are going to be desperate for their first goal of the season. You know, it's the toughest part of the game, scoring goals, you know, it really is. It's but I believe in Will, I believe in Ron and Hale, you know, why wouldn't you, you know, prolific goal scorers. So we've got to make sure we're creating easier chances or when the easy chances do come, we've got to stick them in. It's simple as that, you know, it's the hardest part of the game, but no, it'll come without a shadow of a doubt, you know, we're gonna be good this season. Creating is big and I love creating chances, but just getting it over the line, one of those, you know, and I'm sure, you know, I didn't know. I actually did know Northampton, yeah, hadn't scored yet. So both teams, yeah, ready to give it all.
26 attempts at goal as well, I think, in the first two games, something like that for your own team. So
I'll
you're
take
certainly
it.
Doing something right, aren't
I'll take it, you know, I'll take it. 26 attempts at goal in two games. I'll take that all season, you know, 13 shots at target a game. Wow, you know, we'll be somewhere special if we can carry that on. And I believe we can, you know. Players like Sheldon Kendall, you know, are going to come and show what he can do. You know, Cameron Antwi, like I say, four players, Gareth McLeary when he's fit, we know what he can do. We're going to add, there's going to be an addition in there. We're not, I know everyone's not stupid. They're thinking, right, who's replacing Seb Palmer Holding? There's one coming in, and hopefully we can make that quick. We're really, really excited where we are, honestly, and I feel like the energy's good at this place.
Staying with Gillingham, and ahead of that game, they've signed a striker on loan from Premier League side Nottingham Forest. 20-year-old Lamin Sylla will stay at Priestfield for the rest of the season. He's previously played in the Greek Under-19 Super League for Olympiakos. On to cricket, and England were due to resume today on 248 for 9 on day 2 of the second test against Pakistan. Former Kent player Jordan Cox hit 55 yesterday. Elsewhere, it's day 2 of Kent's County Championship match against Northamptonshire. Kent were off to a strong start with Zach Crawley scoring an unbeaten 82 yesterday as he combined in an unbroken 154 run opening partnership with Ben Compton. And finally, in boxing, Moses Talma's former teachers from Medway have been wishing him good luck ahead of his world title challenge this weekend.
All the best. You're destined for greatness, mate. You're going to go all the way to the top. But just remember me when you get there, right?
Good luck, Moses, on your next fight. Wishing you the best of luck. It was amazing to teach you English all the way throughout Greenacre. And now it's great to see you accomplishing amazing things. Good luck.
Mr. Prescott here. If you hadn't been a boxer, maybe a really good discus thrower, 800 metres maybe. Just saying, really proud of what I think you're doing. Sort of supporting Medway, doing a great job.
Wishing you the best of luck, Moses. You're going to smash it. We appreciate everything you've done for this community, so we're all behind you. We look forward to seeing you come and visit us again soon. The students here are absolutely championing you. All the staff will be watching. I know that a few are coming to attend to see you as well. So go get them. Come back with that title. Smash it. You'll be amazing.
We are so proud of you. We are so, so excited for you. Everybody's behind you. You are going to do brilliantly, and we cannot wait to see you as champion.
Hello, Rico. Mr. Geary here. Wanted to say good luck to you. I think you always knew this day would come, despite me trying to get you into loads of different sports, be it rugby by just giving you the ball to try and help us score, or playing you up front for Greenacre in the Kent Cup final and you missing loads of chances. But you always knew what you wanted. You've been amazing. You've been ups and downs, but you always had this clear goal. So good luck. I hope it all goes well. I'm sure it will. Go get him.
The 21-year-old from Chatham is bidding to become heavyweight champion. He's taking on Croatia's Filip Hrgović in a battle for the IBF title at the O2 in London tomorrow. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. Hope you have a fantastic bank holiday weekend. We'll be back with the podcast on Tuesday.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.